are so good, beautiful smile. I said, if he pulled me aside one more time to tell me about that girl. Hallelujah. Okay, are we live yet? All right, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
Praise the Lord. How you doing, brother? What's your name? Huh? Who?
What you?
I don't even know who you are. Wait, take off. Let me see the face. Let me see your face and then put it back on. I'm going to see if I notice you. Oh, it's hard to put it back on. Okay.
I get it.
Well, praise God. You all right?
She recognized my laugh.
Okay. Praise God.
Amen. Okay. Pastor Sandy, I put a brochure up there so you can show them.
What brochure? These?
Oh, no, those, I forgot who we were.
Oh, yeah, she's not here today. That's Brent. Oh, no, she just walked in. So if you could, yeah, we could give it to her.
Okay.
Okay. She just walked in.
But there was a brochure up there. I don't know what happened to it. Hey, man, you know you're rolling, right?
Yeah, I know I'm rolling. Miss Unique, are you okay? You good? Okay.
Put your mic on.
Is it on? Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. I am going to start off, first of all, by saying this and trying not to cry while I say it. Well, I was praying about it, and the Lord was telling me what to say, and I was crying while he's telling me what to say.
Tears of joy.
Half.
Okay.
While I was praying, the Lord said, you know, I called you in 2003 to do just what you're doing. You say what I tell you to say. You preach what I tell you to preach. You don't change for anybody. Things that I've told you happen. And also, the Lord said, like, I've told you I'm guiding you, and I've given you signs to let you know I'm guiding you. Okay, first of all, everybody look around the building. Okay, we used to meet at a college for $160
a week.
And we were happy. And we got kicked out. God gave us this place. Okay, that was 2004, and we're here in 2021. And only God could have done it, because I don't think me and Pastor Ben had a whole gang of money saved up or anything, okay? I'm here only for one job, and the one job is to make sure that you gain life, okay? Amen. That you gain life, that you get what Jesus Christ came here to pay for. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus came here to pay for was your soul, okay? Because he wants your soul in heaven, okay, connected to his spirit. I can't force a person to listen to me. I can't put on a show to get people to listen to me, because I am not an entertainer. I can't do anything to make people know what I say is serious. The beginning of last year, about the third month before the pandemic hit, the Lord told me to tell the world, do not take any vaccines. The vaccines are a biological weapon. I said it, and here we are a year later, and my statement is still the same, because what God told me is to tell you is true.
Yeah.
Healthy people don't need it. But if you watch so much TV that CNN became your Jesus, or CNN became your preacher, and they tell you and you follow, you can do what you want, because God says you're fine. He says, my children being deceived does not detach me from them.
Right.
That's what Satan's done to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. That does not detach you from God.
Amen.
person goes out and they get a shot and they feel they've done the right thing, that does not detach them from God.
That's right.
Even though some people are trying to say, oh, it changes your DNA and you're no longer human, it does not change your DNA. It changes your DNA ability. So that is, I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the only way that you can get out of this mess alive, okay?
Amen.
And I'm not talking about with your physical body. I'm talking about there is a rapture happening.
Yes.
The children of God are going to leave.
Yes.
The world will be turned over to 666 for 7 years.
Yes.
How do I know this? Because when God says something, it already happened.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm just telling you something that is done. It's a done deal. The rapture's a done deal. Heaven's a done deal. Eternal life's a done deal. Hell is a done deal. It's there. It's going to be there for all demons and all humans, whoever want to go.
Right.
All you have to do is decide you don't want Jesus.
That's it.
Somebody said, well, I love God, but I don't understand Jesus. You better get to know Jesus, because without Jesus, you don't have God.
Yeah. Amen.
The one way, the only way to heaven, to life, is through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now I'm going to begin this message, and I got to begin it by talking about this guy, Prince Philip. You guys know who Prince Philip was?
He just died, right?
He just died. He was 99 years old. Nephilim sure live a long time.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that as a joke. Nephilim live a long time.
Yeah.
It says Buckingham Palace confirmed on Friday, I don't know what day it was, that Duke of Edinburgh, who was married to Queen Elizabeth for 73 years before passing, died at the age of 99. If you have time, watch Arizona Wilder's documentation on her experiences with the royal family, and she will tell you they were not human.
Right.
In 1988, Prince Philip made this quote. He said, if I had one wish, I would be reincarnated as a deadly virus to solve the overpopulation problem.
What?
That was his statement in 1988. If I had one wish, I would reincarnate myself as a deadly virus to solve the overpopulation of the world. He quoted this in 1988.
Wow.
So we're not even talking about 2000s or 2010. We're talking about somebody who's talking about there's too many human beings, we need to get rid of some of them in 1988. But like I said, Arizona Wilder said the royal family was not human. And you have to watch that documentary because after they were able to get rid of her, a lot of what she said has come true. Now, and I guess it was about 2012 or 13, Bill Gates gives a speech in the TED thing, and he says, he puts up a chart. It says CO equals P times S times E times C. CO is, energy and stuff that is used by human beings within the Earth realm, right? The P stands for people. The S stands for services per person that are used by each person. Energy that is used in services to serve each person, and the CO, which is the carbons or whatever that people are using in the earth. He says one of these, either the P, the S, the E, or the C, has to go. It has to be reduced to zero in order for the planet to survive. So if P stands for people and S stands for the services that they use, that means if you get rid of people, you can get rid of the services, the energy, and all of that, and the carbons. So basically, he was saying to an audience that erupted in applause, because after he said that, he said, if we don't get rid of people, by this certain amount of time, we'll have 9 billion people on the planet. He said, we can reduce that by 15%, meaning 1.3 billion people with vaccines and proper medicines. So his idea was depopulation, right? The nationalist David Attenborough, I won't go over who he is, but he died. No, he's still alive. He's 92. Nephilim live a long time. And he says, in the long run, population growth has come to an end, must come to an end. There's some reasons thinking that this will happen inevitably in some way. So his idea was get rid of as many. Then the Georgia Guidestones, which you can still go and visit, with 8 languages, the top sentence says what? Reduce humanity under 500 million. Million, not billion. Reduce, so you got it, what, 6.5 billion people have to die to accomplish their goal, okay? Now I smile because Satan has a lot of fantasies. He's that same guy who went, I will ascend above the heavens and I will and I will be God. And he's that same guy. So what Satan fantasizes about and talks about, there's a God who laughs. Okay? So I want you to know and understand, Satan is not going to overcome human beings.
Right.
Satan is not going to overcome God's people. He's not going to overcome the church.
Right.
Okay? But he does have a period of time that is approaching us very fast that he will have control over human beings mm-hmm. in a way that he's never had control over them before. If you are here during that 7 years, I want you to know you are out of place.
Right.
It was never God's intention for you, a Gentile, to be in the tribulation or anyone to be in the tribulation for 7 years. This is not, that's not God's, but the day is coming. And I can't wake people up. You know why? I don't own 95% of media. 95% of media tells you, if you don't wear that mask, something's gonna hit you and you're gonna die. So we wear the mask. Deception doesn't separate you from God, though. God just says, you know, I can't turn off CNN. They're down there, I'm up here. I can't turn it off. So I would never criticize anybody for watching. Tell my brother came over the other day. He said, boy, I'm so proud of myself. I got both my shots. And I started to talk to him. And I'm sitting there going, and the Holy Spirit said, shut up. I said, well, I'll be praying for you. And I moved on and we had a great meal and we had some laughs. But let me tell you something. God knows what's coming. God knew that this was coming March of last year when I said that. We've never gone viral before. We went viral. I mean, 4 million in the United States, over 6 million across seas. We're like, we're viral. My wife got up. She was so scared. She's like, wait, we're getting too popular. This is crazy. She said, we got 2 million views. I said, for what? She said, that warning you gave yesterday. I was like, that's God, because I wasn't prepared, but it's coming. You understand? But something else is coming, and I want you guys to understand where I'm coming from on this, okay? God told Abraham, your people will be mistreated and held in slavery for 400 years, but after 400 years, you will come out with great possessions. He told him that before they even went into slavery, right? Before the Canaanites began to mistreat them. He told him that. It happened exactly where he said it would happen. And if after 400 years, they were coming out of Egypt. When did that happen? Did it happen when it happened or did it happen when God said it? Wow, now you get me. When God says something, it has already happened. Do you understand? You're waiting for the manifestation. Only way, the reason it's a blessed hope is because you're waiting for the manifestation.
Right.
Two will be in one place, one will be taken, the other one left. You're waiting for that manifestation. God's mind, we already partying. So you have to catch up with God in your faith.
Yes.
Because in your mind, you've got to be on the same ticket with God. You understand? We're sitting there at the table, and I was so ashamed of the whole conversation yesterday, because we're all talking about vacations we're going to take within the next coming year. And I'm like, got my head down because I don't want to get involved. And I'm like, I'm ashamed of this conversation. Because none of us said, if God's will. You know what I mean? None of us said that. And so you're in the assumption that God has no plans. That's why you say, if it be God's will. Because you're in the assumption that God has no plans. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do. Write it in pencil because I might erase it. Amen. That's what God's telling you.
Amen.
Let's continue. So, in, I have to go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. God has shown me a lot of things. Among the things that the Lord has shown me is that a lot of the people that you celebrate in this world are not even human. They are manifestations of science and DNA projects. And they're presented to you as celebrities and you love them. Okay? You know they're satanic because you see all the satanic stuff they do, right? So you know they're satanic, but you can't get your head around, is it possible they cannot even be human? Think about that. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm not going to read the whole thing, although I wanted to this morning. The Lord said, you will not have time. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, in verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit. I do that at home. And if you have the ability to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayer, and the natural too, and requests. Thank you. My wife is such a strong prayer. She has requests and prayers. I mean, all the time. I could be cooking an omelet. I hear somebody start praying in the back. They're like, "She praying again?"
Amen.
Just break out. I'm like, yeah, what am I gonna say? She's jacking up the spiritual realm. Any demons planning on coming in at that time, she's putting the name of Jesus in the middle of the equation.
Yes.
What am I going to say? Babe, keep up the good work.
Amen.
That's all I can say, right?
Yes.
So God is, watch this. And I, God, would like to make some suggestions. I suggest that you stand firm with the belt of truth. Yeah. Ain't no suggestion in there. These are commands that God is telling you. He's telling you to pray.
Yes.
He's telling you to study his word. He's telling you what to do. To do what? To protect yourself because you're living in an atmosphere that belongs to who? He said the prince of the power of the air is what? Is the king of this world right now. So he's telling you, this is how you protect yourself. How? This is what he told Noah before. He said, Noah, hide yourself in me. What is he telling Noah? Hide yourself in my, you know, he didn't say hide yourself in me. He said, hide yourself in my name. So God is telling us to say, in the name of Jesus, in the things that he told you to do to protect yourself in these last days, hide yourself in that. Because I can tell you something, a demon may be walking towards your door, and if you in there praying, he ain't doing nothing.
Amen. That's right.
Listen, I'm doing prison ministry, and this guy is telling me, man, when I get out, I'm gonna make me some money. I ain't coming to no old church, man. Minister said, man, you crazy. I ain't worried thinking about no Jesus when I get out. He gets out of prison, and the next thing I heard, he died on the back porch of an elderly person because he hit his hand through the window, cut his wrist, pulling it out, and died bleeding right there on the lady's back porch.
Oh.
They went in the lady's house. She got Jesus pictures and scriptures everywhere. I said, well, he was stupid. This lady was probably in there praying. Listen. The reporter said the lady came out, saw a man bleeding on her back porch, bleeding to death, and called the ambulance. She didn't call the police. She called the ambulance. So you think God was protecting that lady's house or what?
He was.
I'm not telling you a story I made up. I'm telling you a story that really happened. So you have to understand, look, God is with you. But do what he says. Hide yourself in his word.
Yes.
Or else some clown will come to you and tell you, you know what? You're not really saved until you speak in tongues.
Right.
And you'll be, well, I'm not really saved yet. Because, and it's not because you don't, it's not in the word, it's because you haven't read enough to know that you got saved when you confessed. So I want you to hide yourself in God. God told me, submerge yourself in me. And there's a Hebrew prayer that says, lasok, which means to submerge yourself into God. Soak yourself in him. So that, you know, that Satan can't even see you because you're so submerged in God. This is how we're supposed to be living. And this is the most dangerous time to ignore what God has told us to do.
Amen.
Daytime. We got fake humans, Nephilim demons living amongst. Some of them look human, some of them don't. If you don't think that Kanye West is a demon, I'm sorry, but I do. If you don't think Rihanna is a demon, I'm sorry, I do.
Yeah.
If you don't think Lady Gaga's a demon, I'm sorry, I do.
Amen.
Okay? But look how famous they become. Who's the guy on CNN? Anderson. You think he's a demon? 100%. If I told you his background, you go, oh my God. Gloria Vanderbilt family throwing child sacrifices all of his young life. And all of a sudden he becomes the guy on CNN. So see, you guys are not looking at the world the way God is looking at the world. God is saying you're living amongst demons. Be careful. Hide yourself in me, because in Christ, demons don't mess with Jesus people. They don't mess with Jesus. I'll show you examples in the scripture where they're talking to Jesus. They're like, yes, sir, Mr. Jesus.
Yeah.
Could you please let us just go jump in the pigs? Please, sir. Are you here to beat us before it's time? You're going to beat us up before it's time. It's not time. That's how demons feel about Jesus.
Amen.
And so you think you're sitting there calling out the name of Jesus and ain't nothing moving, you crazy. Yeah. I'm walking down the street and there's a lady, and I mean, I knew she was possessed with something. She was talking to herself and screaming and yelling. And I started praying. That lady crossed the street and walked to the other side. I said, did she think I was going to hurt her or what? She didn't think I was going to. She knew I was praying. Whatever demon was there, like, we don't have nothing to do with that. So we crossing the street.
Right.
So hide yourself in Christ.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to do this. You can live your day and just say, well, I just know in my heart I'm a Christian. And just don't pray, don't read, don't study. You can do that. But I live my life active in Jesus.
Yes.
It's like, what time am I going to read my word? When am I going to pray? I need to pray in tongues because I don't know what the Holy Spirit has to say. I live my life active in Christ because I'm buried in him.
Yes. Amen.
Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brother, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is spiritual worship. To do what? To offer your body as a spiritual sacrifice. That means kill your flesh.
Yeah.
Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you transform your mind? By studying the word of God. But he says, don't be conformed with this world. How can you sit there and listen to all kind of satanic music all day and think you're not going to be affected?
Amen. That's right.
Satan made that music for you to be affected.
Yes.
And God, the Holy Spirit, if you say the Holy Spirit lives in me, the Holy Spirit ain't trying to listen to that.
Right.
The latest from who? Little baby what? Little who what? And you're all just listening and bobbing your head all day, and the Holy Spirit's like, this is disgusting.
Right.
Don't you know God's inside of here? Would you play that music in church? No, because you think this place is holy. God lives in you. He don't even live in this building.
Amen. Amen.
So if God lives in you, why are you corrupting the house of God? Smoking in the house of God, drinking in the house of God, all kinds of stuff in the house of God. You wouldn't do it in the building. Oh no, I got respect for the house. God don't live in this building. God lives in you.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
The Lord said, some people say, you know what? I want to fornicate, but let's go to the church and do it first.
Ooh.
You know what? Now, see how disgusting that sounds to you? God said, y'all live in the building. I live in you. The temple you're corrupting is not the building. You're corrupting you.
Yeah.
But that would be disgusting. But the same activities are happening inside of your body when you say, I'm going to do this in the temple of God. Because God dwells inside of people.
Yes.
Let me continue. What is needed to clone a human being? First of all, I got this from biotechnology. An overview of DNA. First of all, I want to read this in Luke chapter 11, verse 24. It says, when the unclean demon is gone out of a man, he walks through the dry places seeking rest and finds none. And he says, I will return to the house of which I came. So if a demon is cast out of you, what's wrong that they need to go back and find a body to live in? They've always wanted bodies to live in. You understand? If we went to the scriptures, it said they cast out the demon and it wandered around in thirst and became tired and was looking for a place that it could rest in, a house that it could live in. Demons are always looking for bodies.
Yeah.
So I tried to educate the Christian world and say, look, I know they told you marijuana should be legal and that, but marijuana is the number one reason why your pineal gland is going to be open. Now, it doesn't make you go crazy. It don't make you drive off the road. But the demon's like, this is the best stuff. Let's make that legal. Because when they smoke this, that door to the inside of them opens just like that.
Yep.
Takes more alcohol to get it open than it does marijuana.
Yeah.
So they say, let's make marijuana legal. There are many drugs that are going to open your pineal gland. And I'm trying to tell you how to protect you so that you can gain eternal life.
Yes. Amen.
So I'm reading this thing and it says, God is funny because he showed me this and he says, humans, you know, like humans. And you'll do that too in a minute. Hold up. Now watch this. It says, what is needed to make a clone human? DNA from blood, saliva, or hair. Before you can manufacture a human being through science, you need some blood from a human being, some saliva from a human being, or some hair from a human being. Why can't they just produce their own DNA? God made it. So the science can't make DNA because it's like, God made that. It's only in humans. We got to figure out a way to get humans to give us their DNA. We can't go to the hospital and say, we need a little blood samples from people. They'll be like, what are you guys up to? So he goes, I know, I got a great idea. Ancestry.com.
I knew it.
Ancestry.com. We'll have them send a little blood or a little saliva, and we'll make them pay us for it, and we'll tell them, we're going to tell you your world history.
I knew it.
And you... Oh, you forgot to put the check in there. I find out I'm half Irish. No wonder I like green. you're just a bigger knucklehead. And God is looking at me like this. Humans. Like sheep.
Okay.
We don't think.
Man.
Ancestry.com was founded by Dan Taggart and Paul Allen. Dan Taggart is in prison right now for trafficking and pedophilia and rape of minors. The other one is a billionaire who lives in Washington, D.C. So they saw the success they were having. So guess what? And Wanitsky, wife of Google owner Sergio Ben, started 23andMe and said, what was her quote? She said, she will have the largest DNA portfolio in the world for scientists to use for cloning, human manipulation, and everything, right? So let me tell you about her. She's the wife of Google owner, so he financed this whole thing, 23andMe, because we need a way to make human beings, because if we make the human beings, God won't live in them, but we can put our spirits in them, and they can do what we want them to do, and some of them will be albums, and you'll buy them. So God said, look, tell these people so they understand what's going on amongst them. God's trying to get Nephilim and you're mailing out your DNA. Ben, who's the owner of Google, visited the White House 128 times during Obama's presidency, more than any other company in the world. Serge Ben attended John Hopkins University for Talented Youth. Mark Zuckerberg also attended the same school, and Lady Gaga attended the same school. And this is the John Hopkins who's best friends with who? The Gates. So you see how the demons stay in a circle? The sister of the owner of Google is the CEO of YouTube.
Ooh.
Are you guys seeing what I'm trying to tell you? So,
wow.
They're trying to manipulate DNA and make clones and make people and make, and so that they can have their spirits live in humans that look like they are human, but they're not human. Because see, real humans don't do what these humans do, because real humans don't drink blood, and we don't get fantasies off pedophilia, and we don't do stuff like that. We don't eat human flesh. They go to seances where they do this type of stuff. There's a restaurant in California called the what? Well,
I forgot.
Yeah, but it's a restaurant for eating human flesh. And they give you a list of all the celebrities that belong to it. So this is the world you're living in. This is the world crazy pastor said. And I was like, now y'all gonna say, see, I told y'all he crazy.
Cannibal Club.
The Cannibal Club. That's what they call the Cannibal Club. And now y'all finally convinced I'm crazy. But the Lord said, don't stay long, leave them there. Take them to some scripture. So I want you to first go to Daniel chapter 2.
Pamela gave us that name, Pastor Sanders.
Thank you, Pamela. I appreciate you. I'm getting to Daniel chapter 2. Okay. Now, God has already spoken the end. God knows how the end's going to happen. God knew that in the 120th year, the whole world would be under judgment, and you were. Mm-hmm. Why? Because 120 years, he told Noah, in 120 years, the flood's going to happen, and the whole world's going to be under judgment. In 2020 is the 120th year from 1900s, and in 2020, the whole world was under judgment. Remember, God told me, and God reminded me this morning. He said, remember I told you that that Kanye West was not my servant?
Yeah.
And that all the people that sing for him are not my people? They belong to Satan. They auditioned and got a part in Satan's band, and that Kanye West is not my servant, nor anybody who is with him are servants of me. So he said, tell the people that do not listen to this music, right? And he says, but watch what I do. Mm-hmm. Now, Kanye West had a concert schedule for the next year to be at almost every church. Even they were going to give a huge concert in the Yankee Stadium with Mr. Smile-A-Lot. What's his name? Joel Osteen. they was gonna give a concert in New York with Mr. Smile-A-Lot, and they were going to do this music and have this big party. Cause in the music, he went to Arizona to talk to a guy who was an expert on opening doors to demons, and he made his album cover from what he does in Arizona. And then they're planning on doing a whole mass thing where they're gonna call down these demons on all these Christians that are there to hear Kanye West sing to the Lord.
Mm.
The deception was there and set and ready to go. And God said, COVID. I said, Lord, when you said, watch what I do, I didn't know that's what you was gonna do.
Shut it down.
The whole world was shut down. Okay, little strip club that I drive by all the time, still shut down, boarded up, can't open back up. Every time I drive by to the store, I go, praise the Lord. So don't think COVID was bad on everybody.
Right.
There's a young lady on the YouTube right now, give her a whole testimony. Like, I couldn't even go clubbing no more, and so I had nobody to do drugs with, so I started talking to Jesus.
Ooh.
And gave my life to Christ because of COVID.
Wow!
Giving her testimony.
Wow!
So don't think it was all bad. Niara, like, praise God for COVID. Y'all know, you know Niara? Someone don't know Niara. Niara, like, praise God for COVID. Niara's executive now. So I want you guys to know, God understood it was coming, and he understood what they were going to do after.
Yeah.
Now watch this, okay? Are you in Daniel chapter 2?
Yeah.
Okay, in Daniel chapter 2, how much time I got, Pastor? Happy.
20 minutes.
Oh, ooh, praise the Lord.
I know, you're moving
yeah.
fast.
All right. So in Daniel chapter 2, this is what's going on. Nebuchadnezzar just had a dream. And he wants the wise men and the astrologers to tell him the interpretation of his dream. And he says, tell me what my dream meant. And they said, well, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it meant. He said, nah, I know from what Daniel already showed me about you scoundrels that you're a bunch of liars, because Daniel had already proved to them that his God was not eating the sacrifices, because Daniel put sawdust on the floor. And when they walked in, they saw the footprints, and he says, your astrologers and wise men ate that food. So he had been tricked by his wise men. So now he's saying, no, I'm not telling you the dream. You got to tell me the dream and the interpretation. Tell me what I dream.
Wow.
And they said, oh, if you just tell us your dream, we can tell you the interpretation. He says, nope. And every last one of you going to die if you don't tell me what I dreamed and the interpretation of it. Nobody's ever asked anybody to do this. You getting closer to death, every excuse. Tell me what I dreamed and tell me the interpretation of it. So they're off to go get Daniel, because Daniel is one of the wise men. He's going to get killed too. Daniel says, hold up. Give me a little bit of time to talk to God. Daniel speaks to the Lord, and God tells him the dream he had and the interpretation. Wow. So Daniel goes to the king and says, the Lord has given me the interpretation of your dream. And this is what you dreamed. Now he's telling him what he dreamed. He said, you dreamed of the gold, and then you dreamed of the silver, and then you dreamed of the bronze, and then you dreamed of the 10 toes. And he's telling him his whole dream. And the gold is you. You are Babylon, the first king. And the next king going to come after you is going to be Persia. And then the next king is going to come after you is going to be Greece. And then the next king going to come after you is going to be Rome. And he's telling him all of the interpretation of his whole dream. But he's prophesying to him at the same time, because he's telling him, after you're king, Persia's going to come and they're going to be kings of the whole world. Then Greece is going to come and they're going to be kingdom of the whole world. Check your encyclopedia and see if that is not the way world history has gone. Exactly what Daniel says. The last world domination government was Rome, which Jesus was living in at the time. And he said, Rome will reappear. And when they reappear, something's going to be going on in the earth.
Yeah.
So here it is. Go down to verse 40. Let's go to verse 41. It says, just as you saw the feet and the toes were partly baked clay and partly iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. He's talking about Rome, because Rome broke up into different pieces. Yet it will have some of its strength of iron in it, even as you saw the iron mixed with clay. And it says, as the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron with mixed with clay, so the people will mingle, or they will mingle themselves. They will mingle themselves amongst the seeds of men. Go to your King James and read it, because in the Hebrew it'll give it to you properly. It says they will mingle themselves with the seeds of men. Who are they?
Nephilim.
Nephilim. They will mingle themselves amongst the seeds of men. So they're mingled with us. This isn't the 70s. They're mingled with us. They've been doing DNA corruption since the book of Jasher in Genesis. They've mingled themselves with us. And so now you live amongst some humans and some Satanists. And this atmosphere that you live in, you're buying albums for people who worship Satan. Christians going out buying albums for people who worship Satan. God is like, okay, it's a good thing your deception don't separate you from me, because that's not good.
Right.
But God knows that the whole world is under deception. My job, Pastor Sandy, is to tell you this is the deception that's going on. Wake up.
Right.
Wake up and do what Jesus says. Watch and pray. Stop just praying. Look at your atmosphere. Look what's going around. Why are they giving out free donuts at that Krispy Kreme for you to get a shot? Mm. You get free Krispy Kremes if you could come in and show up. I'm like, this is going too far. They're doing everything because they know what they put together.
Yep. Amen.
Okay, now watch this, because I want you to know this. Right after, it says, at the end, they will mingle themselves amongst it. And then in 44, it says, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. In those times, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. So what's those times? Jesus is about to return to the earth. So while they're mingling themselves amongst the human being during that tribulation period, God is going to come and set up a kingdom that will never fall. But he's telling you, at the end of time, you will be mingled amongst demons. You will be mingled amongst people who are famous but are demons. You will be mingled against people who are famous and they are human, but because of the love of money, they have decided to do this. You understand? So you're going to have to make them decisions about, are you going to hide yourself in Christ, or are you going to have one leg in the world and one leg in Christ, and you're just going to live lukewarm until he gets here?
Mm.
But you're going to have to get a divorce before you get married.
That's right.
And some of you trying to marry God without divorcing the world.
Mm.
You want your ex-wife in the living room while your other wife's in the bedroom.
Right.
And God said, it won't work that way, and it won't work in heaven. So you guys have to make a decision.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Look, free will is decision time. That's why you have it.
Yes.
You don't have to go to hell. You got to decide to go to hell.
That's right.
You've got to make a decision. I'm not following Jesus anymore. You've got to do that to get yourself into hell.
Amen.
You've got to day-to-day decisions. Rather you're going to follow Christ, or rather you're going to go and follow him.
Yes.
Rather you're going to offend God, or rather you're going to walk holy and live in God. You got to make decisions every day, because somebody's going to offer you, girl, come on, let's go have some drinks after work. No, you know I'm with Christ. I don't do that. God is in heaven like.
That's right. That's right.
Right?
Here
you are, Christian. Let's go to the strip club. Oh, well, just don't tell nobody, because you know I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
God's in heaven like, you're making bad decisions. You're making bad decisions. Make godly decisions. Free will is about the decisions you make day to day to day to day. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's read about this kingdom that's coming. Because see, I know that what God wrote already happened. So I'm already happy.
Amen.
Yeah. It says, in those times, the kings, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will be crushed. All those kingdoms, he will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold in pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true. The interpretation is trustworthy. Praise God.
Amen.
So God has shown him that a rock is coming that's going to crush all the kingdoms of the world and set up a kingdom that will last forever. Your future is part of the great rock that's coming to destroy the Nephilim and the humans that don't want to follow God. People calling me about the draft, I can care less about the draft because they don't care about God. Football, whatever. Because when the rapture happens, ain't nobody playing. It'll be just like Corona or whatever they called it. It'll be just like this time we just passed. It won't matter to you when God acts.
Amen.
The Lord told me, they're not thinking about me, and I'm not thinking about them.
Amen.
You understand? The world ain't thinking about God.
Right.
God said, that's okay, I ain't thinking about them. Because when the rapture happens, hey, you heard about my son. It's time to confess or fall in. But one thing's for absolute sure, I did everything I could to bring you into the kingdom.
Yes.
Not only did I die for you, not only did I shed my blood, not only did I take all of your punishment, not only did I die for your soul, he said, even your emotions, I've healed them because I was crushed and my soul was crushed so that your emotions could even be healed. I did the whole job for you. When he said it was finished, man, it was finished.
Yes.
It is finished. So now it's paid for. This is what I'm asking you guys. Look, hide yourself in his name. Okay? Don't take this $1 billion gift that Jesus gave to you and say, he's cute. I'll sell all of that just for one night with that guy, right? It's like soup for billions.
Yep.
That's what you're doing when you're sinning. You understand? You're selling something that is worth more than millions, more than silver, more than gold. And you're selling it for an opportunity to eat soup. It's stupid.
It is.
So you got to wake your decision making up. You got to kill your flesh because your flesh will make the wrong decision every time.
Yes.
And your emotions will make the wrong decision every time. Your emotions ain't nothing but a teenager with no discipline.
Amen.
Can't depend on your emotions. Your emotions are nothing. God said, you put your emotions in check and bring everything under the Spirit. You walk by the Spirit. The Word will tell you how to control this situation. The Word will tell you how to control the situation. If you're controlled by your flesh or you're controlled by your soul, you're on a roller coaster ride that God don't want to ride.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Spirit control your life. That means the Spirit is making decisions all the time. And you're allowing him to make decisions. And you're going to have a blessed life because you're letting him make decisions.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Man. 5 minutes.
I don't even need 5 minutes. It's hard to tell you guys how much I love you. It really is, because so many people have come to this church and have fell in love with God only to fall in love with the world again. Some people have come to this church and left to go be a part of cults. And all I'm trying to do is tell you how not to die, how to live, how to have Christ. Because there is a heaven above us, and there are people who are rooting you on to make it.
Yeah.
Some of your parents, some of your uncles, some of your relatives are there, and they're rooting, like, do the right thing, make it here, celebrate with us. And some of us won't make the right decision because we won't kill our flesh. Your flesh cannot tell you what to do, and your emotions, I don't care how happy you are about the situation, if it causes sin, you've got to make the right decision.
Amen.
If you make the wrong decision, there is forgiveness. You can go to Christ if you belong to Him.
Mm.
Because God don't want to hear your prayer until you accept Christ.
That's right.
You say, yeah, I want to repent. You ain't even accept Christ yet. You go somewhere else.
Amen.
When you accept Christ, then you get the right as a kingdom citizen,
yeah,
to repent and to come back in right standing with the King.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
So even if you should make a mistake, repent and get back in line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But don't give up on your walk. And don't walk away from Christ and make mature decisions. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm done. Hallelujah.